Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry, Apostle. I thought I had took the mute off. You get to a point, you say, Lord, why does that bother me with somebody bothering me because I just saw their name on an ID caller, or I just heard their voice, or I just looked over there and saw them. I'm saying you could share this. Why does that irritate me? Like I said earlier, when I was younger and riding in the car with my mom and my sister, I would aggravate her by touching her, and I knew that she didn't want me to touch her, or she would get to a point she would just start screaming and hollering, Mama, tell her to stop touching me. She keeps touching me, you know. And when you find out somebody doesn't want to be touched, instead of you just keep on bothering them and pestering them and messing with them and doing things to aggravate them, because, see, you're not understanding, you're putting them in a frame of mind. My sister sent me something on Messenger that said, this is how I feel sometimes. Push the button to play it. This girl was walking around. She was so mad, and she was saying, didn't I tell you to stop touching me? Don't touch me. I don't want to be touched. She was begging the person not to touch her, and she was doing it and hitting her hand. It was like she was begging them not to do it so she wouldn't have to go physically off, because emotionally and mentally she had went off. See, she had already expressed herself. She had already spoken it and let it be known, I don't want to be touched by you. See, let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. See, we know everybody don't wash their hands. All right? I know you heard me. Everybody don't wash their hands. That's just like somebody, say you bought some chicken, you know, a bucket of chicken or a pan of chicken, and you got the thumbs there to pick the chicken up, or a fork, and somebody just stick their hand in there. Or you got some dip on the table, and you got your chips laying around, and somebody pick up a chip, and they double dip. And they still, see, that's how you feel when somebody touch you, because you don't want them touching you. Now, I'm going to say this right here, then we're going to get back to that. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 26th verse says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's the 27th verse. See, we have to understand that God knows we're human. I'm going to leave that right there so some of y'all can grab a hold to that. God knows we're human. He knows we have feelings. And he knows that his word said, don't be quick to lay hands on anyone, but don't be quick to let nobody lay hands on you. Everybody don't wash their hands. We see the world, and they be on the news or in the newspaper, on the radio, conversations where they have some stuff out here, Santrex, whatever you call it. You can touch it, and when it get in your skin, better not wipe on your face. Give you a good example, sidebar. I was allergic to something that caused my hands to break out. And I showed it to my doctor, and he said, well, I'm going to give you this medicine. And he said the medicine should help. But he didn't give me all of the instructions of the side effects. Y'all hear me now? And I didn't think to ask him because I'm trusting a doctor. And he gave me the stuff to put on my hands, and, oh, the stuff was working good. Itching, it wasn't dry, it wasn't, the skin wasn't chapped up. I mean, it was working good. But I touched my face, and I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to touch my face. But because of using this medicine for about, say, 3-4 days, I had been using the medicine on my hand, and then I would touch my face like this. I'm talking to you all, or I was sitting here thinking, or I was sitting like this reading my word or doing something, or just sitting back relaxing. And I noticed the fifth night, or the fifth morning, I found it hard to breathe. And, I mean, I couldn't breathe deep enough. I couldn't catch my breath. I was laying down, but it was like somebody was not just sitting on my chest, but they were choking me, and I couldn't catch my breath. So I managed to get up. I can barely walk. I can barely get from the bed to the door. Just say I could barely take 5 steps. But I began to call on the name of Jesus. I began to say, Lord, help me. I need your help. And I got to the front door, and it was very windy out that night. You can hear the wind blowing, you know, in your house. The wind was so high, even though I have new windows, I could still hear the wind blowing and see the shadows on my window from the way the branches were blowing. So I opened the door to catch some air. And even with that wind blowing like it was blowing, I can barely breathe, but I was able to catch my breath. And I called out, I said, Stan. It took me a minute to say it again. And then by the third time, he said, what? What? He's asleep. I said, I can't breathe. I breathe. So he jumped up and he saw how my eyes had got real big. And how many of you all know the vessels in your eyes will show up when you are lacking oxygen? Mm-hmm. Because of the strain. And I remember about a year prior to that, this was last year, November, but a year prior to that, God had me to buy this inhaler humidifier, and when I got it, I remember my family saying, we don't need that. I said, no, we don't, but God is telling me to buy it, and he told me the medicines to buy with it, okay, and when I was buying it, I said, God, I don't need this door. I said, well, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to question you. I'm going to trust you. So I bought it, and I bought it with the medicine. And when I was sitting down, I couldn't even say dial 911. I couldn't even think to get my phone. But I could think about the inhaler and the vapor medicine that came with it. I got it, and God was telling me what to do. And I barely had the strength, but I was able to do it. But while I was doing it, I was just calling on the name of Jesus, calling on the name of Jesus. And I put it all together, and I began to breathe better. And I took this stuff back to the doctor the next day. I told him, I'm coming in. I need to see the doctor because you all gave me something that I almost died from using because I couldn't breathe. When I went in there, I was so angry. I was so mad. And I was ready to tell them off, but I could hear God said, shh. You gave it to me. Let me handle it. So when the provider came in, now, when I got in there, my doctor wasn't there. My doctor day was off, so I got to see who was available. But I didn't care who was available. You know how we have the attitude, you messed up, so you're going to catch it because I'm going to tell you how I feel. And when I was talking to her, when she came in, I had, you know, prayed and asked God about it. And God sent me somebody in that was so pleasant that she could see the hurt and the anger in my face. But yet and still, she allowed me to vent. And all I could hear God saying, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Sin not. Sin lieth at the door. That's all I could hear. And as I was talking, I was on the inside saying, Lord, help me that I don't lose my salvation. Lord, help me that I don't lose where I'm at because I'm so angry because they gave me something that brought harm to me. And when I showed it to her, she said, oh, this has steroids in it. I said, steroids? She said, yeah. I said, well, the doctor told me it was going to have some steroids or something in it. She said, but you say you touched your face? Now, she said, so did you put any on your face? I said, well, it was on my hands, and I touched my face. She said, that's the problem. I said, well, how are we supposed to use this stuff on our hands and not touch our face? But she was just so polite with me, and she was explaining stuff. And she said, no, 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 you don't use this no more. She said, so you could throw it away. I said, no, 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 you could throw it away. I said, because I don't never want to touch that again in my life. I said, because, see, that thing had got me to the point where I couldn't breathe. That medicine had got me to the point where I was so angry that, I mean, I was just irritated by everything and everybody because it was causing me not to be able to catch my breath. And that's why I'm saying when the 27th verse says, 4:27 of Ephesians says, neither give place to the devil. You know, we was growing up, they would say, don't give room to the devil. You don't give place to the devil. When I've learned in this life that my people, myself included, we are the first and the last to always realize something. You know, I've heard it a lot, and my sister reminds me all the time. She said to get a piece of paper and a pen and write it down. So with that being said, I had to go back and say to the provider, thank you. Thank you for all that you did. Thank you for allowing me to vent because I didn't know what to do. I couldn't catch my breath. I could not breathe. I could not lay down. I could not sit down. I could not stand up because it was so hard to breathe. My airway literally had closed up. My throat was closing up. I mean, I couldn't drink nothing. I couldn't eat nothing without it getting stuck and caught, and I was gagging. And you all know what I mean. And I'm saying all that to say is that when we find ourselves in places that things, people irritate us, we're supposed to do this. Psalms 34:17, the righteous cried, and the Lord heard it and delivered them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I was brokenhearted that I had got something that was causing me distress, getting under another spirit that was blaming me, but at the same time, I should have looked up, Googled, read, and asked about the side effects. Am I right? I should have made it my business to say, what are the side effects of this medicine? Because I'm putting it on my hands, and I'm going to need to cook, and I'm going to need to touch my face, and I'm going to need to do my hair, and I'm going to be good. But, you know, when I do wash dishes and cook stuff like that, sometimes, it depends on how messy it gets, I may have to use some rubber gloves or something. But what I did, because I was using this stuff on my hands, I do remember putting on gloves when I had to cook or wash the dishes because I didn't want to wash the medicine off because it's not like that medicine is cheap. But I was just so angry with what was going on that I wanted to put the blame on somebody instead of putting the blame where it should have went, and that was with me. I did not go about it the right way. So I should have trusted God from the beginning with talking to him and hearing him and doing what my spiritual leader had told me to do numerous times, take a pen and a paper and write down and ask questions. But I let bitterness come in. I had allowed bitterness to get in. I had allowed bitterness to lay there and fester for some days. And how many of you all know that if you do that, you give room to the devil. You give a place for the devil to say, see this and that. We have to always be in a place of saying, God, I need you. God, what is it that I should be asking? What is it that I should be looking for? What questions should I say when I get this medicine? How should I properly look this up? Show me the side effects. Show me what I need. And we should go from there, because if we leave it to ourselves, we'd be angry because we're going by what's in our heart and what's in our mind. We're not asking God to lead us and guide us. We're not asking God to open up an understanding. We're not asking God to give us a spirit of discernment. We're not trusting God with what we need to go on and get the help that we need, because we're so busy putting trust and putting someone else first. I'm just going to stick with the doctor and just know when we have to get to a place where, like my sister always says, they're practicing medicine too. They're not just saying that we don't want to be the living guinea pig. We don't want to be the living practice subject. So we have to sometimes say, is it another way I can go about this? Is it another treatment I can take for this? Is it another avenue we can do some research for? When they tell you, well, this right here, and let us biopsy this and let us biopsy that, I'm going to say, when they say all of that, first thing you do is say why. For the last couple of months, why? I tell you what we're going to do. Let me pray. Let me talk to God, and I'll get back with you. What we need to do, let me pray. Let me talk to God, and I'll get back with you. We have to understand that we can't allow people to push us in and allow people to encourage us to go away without talking to God. And then if they keep pushing you, just be point blank, honest with them. You know, also I had put on Facebook, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't just say something to somebody because they done irritated you, they done rubbed you the wrong way. Let them know, I told you what I had to say, I said what I had to say, and we're going to go from there. Let them know that you're going to stand close to your word. Let them know that you're going to trust God. Because how can you be a witness? How can you testify about what God has done, what God is doing, but you're not giving him a chance? But at the same sense, I said, God, I know you're able to fix this. I know you're able to deliver me from that. I know you're able to bring me out of this place. But God, if you don't, I know you're able. I'm not going to sit back and let somebody say, well, you said, God said he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. If God do it, he do it. God may not. What if God said, I'm not going to do it? Because as long as you're in this place, I got your attention. See, a lot of times we approach God for healing, deliverance, and breakthrough. As soon as we get it, be like, thank you, Lord. I'll holler at you in a minute when I need something else. See, as long as you're in this place, God got your attention. As long as you're in this place, you're seeking him. And you're seeking him early, because you know the word says, those that seek me early shall find me. You're seeking him consistently, constantly. You're looking for him. But when you get to a place that you got what you need, some of us don't stay there. and say, I'm going to be like the one leper that came back to say thank you. Be like the other twos and twos and fours and eights and the nine that kept going. Said, who, thank you, God. I knew you could. I knew you was able. They say you are a miracle worker. Appreciate you. But that one that came back and said, I thank you, he was made whole. See, a lot of us, we take the temporal, the temporary, the some like, the some kind of, but we don't wait for the whole. When I tell you, I had to sit back and say, God, why does this person irritate me? When I see their name on an ID caller, irritate me. Why is it when I see this, I get under another spirit? Lord, what is that? I'm waiting on God to answer me. Because as soon as I get my answer, I'm saying, Lord, is it me? I'm not saying it's them. I said, why is it that it do me? What is it about me? See, a lot of us want to put the blame on someone else, and the blame may be in you. It may be that that person challenges you. Come on now. It may be that that person calls you out. All right now. It may be that that person tells you you're living beneath you. See, we got to get to the point that we always see it for what it is. Ask God, what is it? It ain't always somebody else's fault, problem, or issue. It could be the fault, the problem, and the issue is in you. Or I'll say in me. God, what is it about me that don't want to hear what this person has to say? What is it about me that gets into a place that when this person says something, or I'm going to say, here we go again. What is it, God? So when we start to get to the place, we say, God, I need to get that song back in my heart, because then it becomes a praise, that becomes a statement, question, that becomes a prayer that I can put up before you that say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of deliverance. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of, I want to be for real in you. We got to get to that place where we say, God, I don't want to walk here no longer. Because, see, we know the signs of the time is showing coming back soon. See, when I was younger, they would say at this age. See, there ain't no more at this age. Whether you born or whether you live a long time, at any given point, God can and will call you. And see, we done got that in our head now. It used to be saying, well, baby, when that child parents die, they're going to grow up. Or they're going to be blessed. Or they're going to this. We're at the place now in our life, we're saying my child was not supposed to bury me. Or should I say, I should not be put in a place of burying my child. What I mean by my child is not supposed to bury me is the fact that some of the things I'm doing put me in a position that my child gonna have to make sure they can survive and make a way for themselves, because I'm supposed to be their provider. But I'm gone. Or I'm sitting in a position where I didn't make it clear to them that one day you're gonna have to live without me, and this is what I have for you. We don't want to talk about life insurance. We don't want to talk about estate, trust. What is it that we have? I don't want to talk about that. No. Ain't nobody looking for you to die. But see, my mom used to always tell us, and my dad would tell us as we was growing up, I don't want you to cry twice. Once because I'm gone, and twice because now you got to figure out what to do with my remains and with the bills I left. Now you got to cry, and then you got to cry because afterwards you're saying, I don't have nothing. See, when we get to the point where we can stop being angry because our kids are saying, okay, what do I do from here? See, we made plans for a spring break, summer break. We made plans for vacation. We made plans for trips. We made plans for even to buy a car, prom, graduation, and everything else. Why haven't we made plans for the after? After it's all said and done. Why haven't we made plans? Ain't nothing like preparing your family for what to do, what you want. Now, if they don't carry out what you want, that ain't on you. But put it in writing. First and foremost, put it in writing, but let them know what you want. I've had plenty of family members that said what they wanted, but once the family member was gone, the kids, they made it about them instead of the final wishes. So all I'm saying is that we can't let the sun go down on our wrath. We can't get so angry that it caused us to lose our salvation. We can't get to the place that we forget how to pray and ask God for help going on the inside of us. Don't forget, you can cry out and ask God. You don't have to do it in front of nobody. You don't have to do it with a group of people. You could just say, God, I come before you on today with a heavy heart, asking you, why does this right here set me up? Put a title on it, and then you have your footnotes under. Why does this set me up? Let me be honest with myself. Is it really them, or do I need to make it what it is, me? Because, see, once we close that door, we'll understand what God said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. When God pulls you in, he pulls you in with love and kindness, and he lets you know, baby, first, your ministry starts at home. Home is H-O-M-E. Drop off the H and O and say, ministry starts at me. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it for what it is. Ministry starts at me. Once you get to the place that you allow God to work on me, then we can take that W, that M, and turn it upside down and make it a W, and now we can work on we. Why are we not in agreement? Why are we not standing where the word said, if one or two touch and agree? Now we have to get to the place where we're constantly saying, God, I don't know how long I've been here, but all of a sudden I know this thing that got strong, and it's a stronghold. I need to break it along with the others. God, I wanna have a breakthrough. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. I don't want to be put in a place where I'm not doing what you told me to do. Because you said 99.5%, 100%. You said hot or cold. If I'm lukewarm, you're going to spew me out your mouth. God, I don't want to be spit on, let alone I don't want you to spit me out. I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be used by the Lord 100%. If anybody knows me, sees me, just know I'm still in the work line where God is working on me. God is putting me in a fire. carving the residue off on the top. See, a lot of us don't want to admit when we came to God, we came to God with some stuff, a lot of stuff. We think that God is just, oh, he's just going to take one or two layers up. No, baby, we got some stuff. And like me, I've been here over 60-some years. I got some stuff that God has studied, taking that blade, scraping it off the top. Because when I come out, I want to come out fine as gold. When I come out, I want to be white as snow. When I come out, somebody to see and say, nobody but God did that. See, we don't want to admit that we a mess in the middle of a mess, in the middle of a hot mess. We don't want to admit it. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not scared no more to say, God, do it for me. Fix it for me, oh Lord. I put a song out on my Facebook today that said, I woke up this morning with my mind, and my mind was stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. When I think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. When I woke up this morning with my mind was stayed on Jesus. When I tell you about God and what God is doing, when I tell you that the enemy tried to kill me back in February, but God made it where the doctor said, no, 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 right now. The enemy said, oh, you better rest. Uh-uh. No, no, no. They ain't got time for resting. See, I've been resting for a long time. I needed to get right back. Yeah. I needed to get right back. If you look at the men and women of God in the Word, when you see the parables and you see what they're doing, not many, you could say, took a vacation. I really can't think of one, but they got right back on to doing what God assigned them to do. Even with David in the middle of his mess, he said, God, don't take your love and kindness away from me. God, don't turn your back on me. God, don't turn away. Don't take your love and mercy from me. God, don't stop. Listen. See, when we find ourselves doing silly things, you see how quick God is to forgive. You see how quick God don't let the sun go down on his wrath with us. You see how quick God turned his anger around. When we get like that with ourselves, with God, and say, God, so angry with myself because I didn't realize, as we say in the world, when I was young, I was half stepping. I thought I was doing something. I thought I was living right. I thought I was kind of, I thought I was being, how do you say, in your favor. God, I thought. But now that I know that God is God giving me another chance, see, some of us get chance after chance after chance, and I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But you get some that don't get for one chance. And I'm asking God why. I'm saying, God, I thank you for giving me another chance. So with that being said, remember Ephesians 4 and 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. With that being said, know this, that God is God every day, all day. God don't change, only we do. God repented that he made man, but God did not destroy us completely. He gave us a redeemer. He gave us a lamb. The Lord leads you back to him by giving him your heart. Thank you, Kashina. The Lord keeps you for his perfect plan. Yes, he did, and yes, he will. We all are different members in the body of Christ, If you're not a thumb, don't try to be a thumb. If you're a pinky finger, be a pinky finger. If you're a knuckle, be a knuckle. I didn't say knucklehead, but be a knuckle. Whatever part God gave you to play, you play it. And ask God to strengthen you, guide you, and lead you. In Jesus' name, I pray somebody heard something on tonight and stop using other people's testimony as your prayer box, but you have enough stuff in you that you can minister to let somebody know. God will save anything and anybody at any given time and any place. Remember that. So I thank you all for joining in. If there's anybody on Blog Talk that would like to make a comment right now, the lines are open. Please speak up.
Amen, amen. This is Cecilia. I just wanted to thank God for the program on tonight and remind people that when you ask God to answer your prayers, He will. And I will give you an example. I continually would ask God to have me in a place that I hate what He hates and I love what He loves. And with that, one of the things that you'll notice it happened to Jesus when the enemy tried to pervert God. It happened to many of the prophets when they would have to, and the disciples when they would have to minister to the people. And so one of the things that I asked God for when I asked Him that was to give me discernment. And with that discernment, it doesn't just turn on and off when you want it to turn on and off. And so one of the discernments that He's placed upon me is a spirit of perversion, and I know it, and I sense it, and I sense it so, oh my God, intensely. Many people think that it's just a perversion of sexual type. Sometimes it's a perversion that you see and you feel in people of anger. They're abusers, they're beaters. Infidelity is another perversion that you'll feel and you'll see in people. Lying, I mean, it's so many different types of perversion, and you end up being like that person that's saying, don't touch me, don't touch me, because I don't want to feel your perversion right now. I'm trying to enjoy my family event. I'm trying to do whatever. So whatever you ask God for, don't get ready, but be ready, be ready, be ready for Him to answer your prayer during that season, during that time, and Him to give you a discernment for it and a wisdom for it as well, so that you don't get angry and you don't get frustrated to the point that it causes you to end up in jail or to be angry. Because like she said, be angry but sin not. But where you can get to a place where you're just like, God, I felt that. What do you want me to do about that? Is this a season for casting out? Or is this a season for praying for them? Is this a season for teaching them? But God, this discernment of the spirit of perversion, what do you want me to do about it in this case? Because every case is not the same. So as the woman of God said, be angry, but sin not, because you asked God for the gift, and He gave it to you. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, woman of God. Is there anyone else on Blog Talk? If anybody on Facebook have anything, they can type it in. But like the woman of God said, every time people talk about the spirit of perversion, don't just think it's with sexual perversion. There could be a spirit of all type of perversions. Just, you have to look at it and ask God to help you out. When God is revealing something to you, ask God how to pray about it. And like I was saying earlier, everybody don't wash their hands. You don't want everybody talking to you and touching you. It's like you don't want everybody hugging you, kissing on you. everybody don't wash their face, their lips, their beard. You will not believe the stuff that people are walking around with on their face. I tell you, I used to work at Cook County Hospital, and we had a patient come in one time, and the stuff he had in his beard, oh, my God. He needed some ticking lights. He needed a comb and the medicine and the shampoo. You would not believe the people have on there. You just have to, you can't go over everybody's house. You can't eat at everybody's house. It's some things you just cannot do. Ask, like the woman of God said, ask God for discernment. She touched and agreed with me. Ask him for discernment, because sometimes God may tell you to start fasting. You go to somebody's house and you may be hungry. God may tell you to start fasting. You can't eat everything that everybody cooks. It's amazing how when you touch and agree with God and you trust God and God reveals some things to you, you can see it. Y'all heard me? I heard y'all. I hope you heard me. I hope you heard what God had for me to say and share with you all tonight. I wanted to let you all know that I wanted to know with God, ask him, why does this make me angry? So we have to get to that point. We can feel so secure with our relationship with God that we could talk to him, but at the same time, we want to be so secure than God. Even when I'm not for sure what you're going to say, God, I'm listening. So I thank you all for joining in on tonight. Please come back next Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear what God has placed on my heart to speak with you all. Our Minister Sylvia Kaiser from Smile 3E, Iron Shop the Iron Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook Live. Our favorite scripture and our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Let me start over. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you all to know that the woman of God, Apostle like Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, will be on the Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm sorry, Eastern Standard Time. She will be on the air releasing what God has given to her to release to us. And if you come back this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, I will be on the air at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Wisdom Wednesday. I left out Monday. Monday is the third Monday of this month. And the Margo McCord at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be seeing what God has for us on Wednesday night. And we're just trusting God. We're just trusting God for what God is doing, what God is going to do, what God has done. So once we get it in our heart that God is our Lord and Savior and he forgives us of all sins except blasphemy, once we get that in our heart and our spirit, we can do what God has told us to do and ask God to give you a church that teaches you the word of God. I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Good night, everyone.